Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump.
Good Friday to one and all. It is Taz the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage? That's the difference. Rocky Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Andrew's got double duty this morning, taking it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time this morning for the next 3 hours with you. We got college picks, NFL picks coming your way a little bit later on in the program. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Good morning to you and everyone out there listening to us and the crew here. We got a big Friday show coming at you, getting into a lot of football. Obviously, we're going to have our college picks, our NFL picks, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be a good show. Good show on tap in reaction to the Thursday night game that was last night. As the Jacksonville Jaguars had their way with the Marcus Mariota-led Tennessee Titans, 20-7, the final. Gardner Minshew played pretty well for Jacksonville. Him and DJ Shark, a nice combination, those two, through the first couple weeks of the NFL regular season. And he caught a touchdown pass last night for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mariota and that offense did struggle against the Jaguar defense that we knew going into it, probably a little ticked off, a little bit bothered, playing with a little bit of edge, as we talked to Tony Boselli yesterday morning, Taz. And he thought they would give kind of a spirited performance last night, sitting there at 0-2 going into the game, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the defense for the Jaguars, to me, that was like, you know, unbelievable. I mean, 9 sacks. Calais Campbell, I felt like every, I mean, it's an exaggeration what I'm about to say, but I felt like every time they were on defense, the Jags, like he was in the backfield getting a sack. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. He's a hell of a player, big, big, big athlete, but super fast. But their defense as a whole was excellent. I mean, again, 9 sacks, that's very impressive.
Yeah, very impressive getting after the quarterback, and Mariota has not evolved as a signal caller here in the National Football League. Now, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what does it mean? I mean, I think Minshew, who was a 6-round pick coming out of Washington State, and you know, they gave you the scouting report last year, and it was kind of interesting when, you know, Minshew goes to Washington State playing for Mike Leach, and was, you know, asked the question when he had opportunity to go to a number of different colleges, and Mike Leach basically told him when he signed up with Washington State, he goes, well, listen, you can come here and you can lead the nation in passing, or you can go someplace else. And he decided to sign up and go to Washington State, and then as he was lighting up college football last year playing for the Cougars, you know, they relayed this story last night during the course of the game. You know, Leach was asked the question about Minshew and what he can do. And he said, well, I mean, listen, he can make all the throws. You know, he's highly accurate. And they asked him how tall he was. He goes, well, he's just as tall as the all-time leading passer in Drew Brees. So, and he's actually a little bit taller than that. And, you know, he's represented himself well. He doesn't look like a 6-round draft choice. He doesn't. Coughlin was impressed by his moxie when they met with him during the draft process, especially, I believe, at the scouting combine, Taz. And early on here, stepping in for Nick Foles, who has been a very good teammate and helping him out in certain things. You know, Minshew's played pretty well here, stepping in as a true rookie.
No, he really has. And, you know, listen, he was 20 of 30, threw for over 200 yards, no interceptions, 2 touchdowns. I mean, so very impressive. And the thing is, like, you know, for me, I remember I didn't know much about him. I mean, I didn't until I saw week one when Nick Foles got hurt. I happened to be watching. I flipped over and I was watching the Jaguars. And because I heard Foles got hurt, I'm like, wow. And then they brought this kid Minshew and Gardner Minshew. And I'm like, wow, I'm watching him play. I remember coming on the air the next day here. And I'm like, man, this kid was actually pretty good. We'll see how it is. I remember saying what I said, like how defensive coordinators adjust to him. I mean, defend against him. But since then, he's been playing excellent. And last night, you know, it was the only game in town, Jaguars versus Titans. So it was like a coming out party for this kid. And production-wise for TV, for NFL Network or Fox, whatever was doing the production on it. So it seems like a collaboration. But they did a bunch of video packages, as you know, Moose, pushing this kid and, you know, and showing his family and all this stuff. It's a great story, and he's a very charismatic kid. And he's, like, I feel like he's become a star overnight in the NFL. And it's that's what they do, right? They have guys like Drew Brees out on injury, guys like Roethlisberger out on injuries, you know, Eli Manning getting benched. We talked about how that stuff's not good for the NFL. Those are stars that are not going to be playing this week. And what do they do? Hey, they make a new star. And that's what I felt from a character-building perspective. But the kid's a player at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, he is. And everyone down in Jacksonville wearing their mustaches because of the one that Gardner Minshew does represent. He's got a ways to go. Certainly continue to establish himself, Taz. But I don't think Jacksonville realized what they had when they drafted him with the 6th overall pick. I'm sure they liked him. But he's stepped up to the plate and played very, very well. And maybe this is going to be one of those stories that we're talking about 10 years from now. Remember way back when in the fall of 2019 when Gardner Minshew established himself as an NFL quarterback. Now it's just 2.5 games that we're talking about here. So he's got a ways to go. But early on, he looks very, very good. And here is Minshew talking about last night's win.
A lot of people never thought I'd get this opportunity. So now that I do have it, I got to make the most of it. So I'm super grateful for it. But I know, through everything I've learned in my career, you know, the situation I'm in, I may only get one. So you got to make the most of it.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. And the one thing you heard last night from the broadcast crew, Aaron Andrews went down to the sideline and relayed a story talking about Nick Foles, Taz. And listen, he got paid. We get it. And he's already won a Super Bowl. So Nick Foles doesn't have really kind of anything to be concerned and all that worried about down there in Jacksonville. But relayed the story of just how good of a support system Foles has been for Minshew after he broke his clavicle.
Yeah.
On the plane after that loss, Foles was the first guy to text him when he's sitting on the airplane. With what he witnessed or saw on the field, what he did right and what he did wrong, things to look at in that quarterback's room as well. I mean, that's, you know, they talked about how good of a guy that Nick Foles is, and that says a lot about Foles as a teammate, and certainly I'm sure Minshew's happy to have that kind of support.
I think that's awesome. You know, I heard the same thing, and that Nick Foles did that. It's kind of like what we heard at with the Giants with Eli Manning helping Daniel Jones behind the scenes and throughout this process, and even when Eli was a starter. I love that when I hear a veteran guy help a young guy, because it's not often, you know, because like we talk about a lot, it's so competitive that these players, like a veteran, you know, like a Nick Foles, he knows. Not, I don't want to sit here and say Nick Foles is in the twilight of his career. That's not true. If we were talking about Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning, that would be true. But I don't think that's true for Nick Foles. But still, he is older. He's more seasoned. And he's a Super Bowl MVP. He's so experienced. You know, he was a starting quarterback. The Jaguars brought Foles in to be the guy, and then he gets hurt week one, and now he's helping this kid Minshew. It's very, very, very cool. A cool story to hear that of Nick Foles. But everybody says he's a great guy. I mean, that's what you hear from the guys at the league. So
yep.
I guess it's not a super shocker, but it's a good story.
But it's good. I mean, it's nice. Yeah. I mean, you're right about that in terms of Foles being a good guy. But it's nice to hear that and him certainly being all in. Yeah. And he would like certainly when he returns, Taz, depending on what happens. I mean, but when he returns, he would certainly like the Jaguars to be playing meaningful football games when he's healthy enough to play. Mm. So, you know, he wants Gardner Minshew to play well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He doesn't want him to struggle. He wants the Jaguars to win some football games. So you get it from that perspective, and it's interesting when you look at the evolution of a quarterback, right? And you look at Mariota across the way, and, you know, Taz, I was a huge Mariota fan coming out of Oregon, a Heisman Trophy winner and salt of the earth. I mean, you want to talk about a good guy and a kid that at that time and still does has his head on straight and what he does in the community on the football field. You know, it's tough to watch, but he just has not evolved as a quarterback in the National Football League. You know, he's playing out that initial rookie contract down there in Tennessee, and you see some throws and some decisions as that game is going along. And it's not just that example. It's a myriad of different examples with Mariota to where, you know, I thought he'd be a much better quarterback in the NFL coming out of Oregon. So did Tennessee draft him number 2 overall than what he has developed into. And, You know, this is a huge year for him individually to kind of evolve as that player, Taz, but I don't know if that evolution's really ever going to come. I really don't, because it's been a while here. He's been banged up, but when he's been in there, and he's had some success, but ultimately when he throws the football, Taz, it's not the same as you see from everybody else.
No, I know. And he's holding the ball long. He's holding the ball
no
a long time.
Good point.
You know, and I'm with you. I echo your statements on when Mariota came out of duck country there with the Oregons. I was a huge fan of his also. I mean, when he was playing for Oregon, he was just – that team was great.
Love that team.
Oh, my God. The program was awesome. I mean, and he was – and he, to your point, he came off very genuine, very – as a good – like he was a kid at the time, as a good kid. And I agree with everything you're saying because – as evolution went on, he's not a guy you're going to have a problem with, you know, off the field.
No.
He's not a headache. He's not going to go out of coach verbally. You're never going to hear any negative static on him. But it's about winning games. It's about, you know, playing great. And I'm with you. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's kind of sad because he hasn't. He hasn't really, you know, been the player I think that everybody thought he'd be, which stinks, you know.
No,
because
that's a problem for Tennessee.
Yeah,
that is because their backup quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that's not going to do much for you either.
True.
So, I mean, they might be in the, you know, the quarterback circus and the hunt, Taz, once again. And you know, the game last night really was marred by so many penalties over the course, and I don't know exactly the National Football League is going to make that adjustment. I mean, I didn't understand one other thing. I didn't understand why Vrabel doesn't kick the field goal 4th and 6 inside the 20-yard line of Jacksonville, down 14-0 early third quarter.
On the road.
On the road. Yeah. I mean, that to me, when you're going for it at that stage, and Mariota missed the throw on 3rd and 6, you know, how many times, Taz, you hear coaches talk about you got to crack the scoreboard, got to crack the scoreboard, crack the scoreboard. It's not like Jacksonville was run away from them. You take the field goal at that stage, making a 14-3 game. Maybe we're still looking at a loss for the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
But still, at that stage, I don't understand why Vrabel goes for it there.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. It was a little perplexing. I mean, he's not a rookie head coach, but he's still a young head coach. No excuse. He's been around the game a long time, was a great player, and obviously learned so much under Bill Belichick. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a head-scratcher. That was definitely a little bit of a head-scratcher. But I got to tell you, just if you talk about, like, the beginning of the game, like, right out of the box, I don't know how you felt, but for me, I felt like the Jaguars, on their first possession, they set a tone right away. They were coming. And they put up 14 points in the first quarter to a donut to the Titans. But they really, the Jaguars, I mean, they really, and it was raining, it was a sloppy track, but their fan base was there and all that.
Yep.
And man, I'll tell you what, though, they set a tone early. They weren't playing games. I mean, they came right out, you know, throwing punches. And I'm like, whoa, the Titans, they're the away team. They better buckle up because they're in for a little fight. and the fight didn't stop from the Jaguars.
No, it didn't. And you're right. You know what Jacksonville played like, Taz? A desperate team.
They did. They did.
You know, they came out and they played desperate football. They didn't let the Ramsey. We'll get to the Jalen Ramsey stuff here in a little bit, Taz. They didn't let the Ramsey stuff, you know, distract them.
Right, right.
You know, you're right. They came out swinging, but still, you know, that game goes to halftime. It's still really in today's day and age in the NFL, still anybody's game. It's
true.
Only a 2-score game.
True.
We're not looking at 28-0 at halftime. We're looking at 14-0, and you know, the Tennessee Titans still had an opportunity if they were able to put together a good half of football. And they really weren't able to do it all night long. And you talked about the Jacksonville defense that was downright dominant. And Taz, the penalties, as we mentioned, besides Vrabel, I mean, the Thursday night product, you and I, you know, we've had our discussions about the Thursday night game.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of it. You know, this game, you know, maybe it's just the combatants that leads to a tough watch. It was a tough watch.
So you didn't like this game?
It was okay.
Right,
it was okay. I mean, I like the Minshew story.
Right.
Did I think it was a great, well-played game? No, I didn't think it was a great game.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. But I thought Jacksonville, you know, played a good game. I was really disappointed, honestly, in Mariota and how he played last night.
Yeah.
Because I thought there were throws that a guy at this stage of his career have got to make. But the other thing, Taz, how about all the penalties in the game?
Well,
I mean, like, it is. What's the NFL going to do here, though? There's nothing they can do about it.
If
guys are going to clutch and grab and hold and push off, and they're going to be able to allow coaches to challenge instant replay, non-call, call, right. overturn it, not
right.
overturn it.
Right.
Yeah, this is what you're buying into.
I know. And you know what was really disturbing watching this game? So you had, I don't have the number of penalties in front of me, right? But for the first half, I mean, you know, whatever, it was a lot of, let's just say hypothetically, we'll get the number. You know, let's say it was 12 penalties or 13 penalties, something like that. And then you have, well, we'll get into this a little bit, but a legendary, current legendary player tweets about the amount of penalties. Troy Aikman rips in the first half as the color commentator the amount of penalties in the game and calls out the refs saying, Aikman I'm talking about, like, yo, this is ridiculous. I don't agree with that
13
call.
Penalties total.
Thank you. So 13, that's a lot of penalties. But then in the third quarter, correct me if I'm wrong, there were no penalties.
Right.
So it's like the NFL or the officials or somebody heard, you know, about the broadcast or heard about the legend up in New England or something and heard that the narrative
on very influential.
You know what I mean? And it's like
a Brady tweet changing things.
That's what I'm saying.
Did Brady send that at halftime?
He sent it during second quarter, I believe.
Was it second quarter?
I don't know when it was, but I think it was second quarter.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, but the thing is, because...
Don't hit him, and he can now change the course of the way game.
Unbelievable. And Joe Buck, I was a little surprised because Joe Buck, the play-by-play guy for Fox, he mentions, he said, it was pretty funny what he said. I was just surprised he did it. He goes, hey, Troy, I'm paraphrasing. Hey, we lost a viewer. And Aikman had no idea what he says. What are you talking about? This is live on the air. And then Buck goes, well, Tom Brady tweeted, I'm turning the game off because of the penalties. And Aikman was like, well, he's right. You know, like, it was, you know, so... I was surprised as, you know, like the guy.
That's tough to say when you're doing the game.
That's what I'm saying.
Game NFL Network to be referencing.
That's what I mean.
Right. That reminds me of who was the analyst in the studio during the AAF when he said nobody's watching?
Oh, yeah. Who was that? We talked about it.
Rod Woodson? No. Was it Woodson? It was Rod Woodson.
It was Rod Woodson. Okay. Yeah. Right. I remember we talked about that.
He's like, don't worry about it. Nobody's watching. And that got on air.
It's a great way to get fired.
That league didn't last all that much longer.
I know, but how do you say that?
No, I agree. I don't disagree with you, but it's kind of, to a lesser extent, an example of what happened last night. I mean, they're sitting there in attendance. You know, the rain falling down at times. Ugh. It's not a crisply played football game. And I think it really has a lot to do with the styles of the Titans and Jaguars, Taz. Yeah. I think they're very, very similar. You know, they're built up front. They're a tough defensive team that kind of defines them and defines their team.
Henry Fournette similarities.
And, you know, like we've watched boxing. You were a wrestler and this and that. You know, styles make fights.
Sure.
You know, some styles work, some styles don't. Yeah. I think when the Titans and Jaguars go, I don't think you're, especially in a short week, I don't know if that necessarily leads to a great game. But so they're sitting there watching that, and then Brady sends out that tweet, and they reference it. I agree with you. I'm surprised that Joe Buck referenced it. I missed it when he referenced it. I did see the Brady tweet, but, I mean, there were times in that game where there were so many penalties it wasn't watchable.
Right, so if you think about it, like, to the point I'm making, like, you know, if you got a freaking, you know, you said 13 penalties in the first half, right? You said 13?
No, 13 total.
Oh, total.
Total for
okay.
the game.
Well, it was
I don't have it broken down by
there was a good amount, and let's say it was 8 or 9, in the first half of the game.
Yeah.
I remember in the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter, Buck said, there were no penalties in this quarter, something to that effect. You know, and
there were a lot of penalties in the first half.
Right, but it stopped for a while, which is like kind of odd. You know?
Well, it's strange, right.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe there was an adjustment by the team, or maybe they got a message.
Yeah, that's a big adjustment.
Or maybe
right?
it was a case of they decide to let them play. I mean,
you can go
a number of different ways, Taz. You would think that if you're going to go down that road where it's heavily penalized when on a turf that's sodden, that's wet down by rain, you would think that the penalties would continue, but didn't in that third quarter. Overall, the Jaguars needed a win, Taz, and they got a win. I mean, that's what they needed.
It's a big win. They needed it. You're right.
They needed that victory. As they're 1-2, and now the Titans are 1-2. We'll get into the Ramsey saga as he chatted with the media. He also hopped on a podcast earlier in the week that broke yesterday, too. So we'll get into his comments, the latest and greatest with the star corner for the Jaguars and his trade demands. We will do that next. It is Taz and the Moose on a Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Weekdays and weekends, we're open for business to talk about your favorite college and pro football teams on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, whatever. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So Mike across the way found the breakdown test. Had 10 penalties in the first half.
First half, 10 penalties.
Three in the second half.
Three in the second. So, see, that's what I mean. Like, and that's what Joe Buck made a comment, and he
in
was
reference.
Definitely – right, he did. And he was definitely being sarcastic, which he's good at. And I'm pretty sure it was right as the third quarter ended. And I don't remember his exact words, but he brought attention to it pretty heavily, you know?
Yeah, that's so, when the king of the NFL.
Well, he is the king.
Yeah, that's it. And that is Tom Brady. Yes,
a hand raise.
Yes, buddy.
I was watching the game this morning because I went to sleep immediately last night. That's one way to look at it. I believe it actually was 15 called penalties in the first half, 10 accepted. That would show up in the box scores. That's why there's 10 the first half, but it was 15 flags total, I believe.
And 10 accepted.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. There you go. That's thorough. Nice job, boys.
Yeah, it's just interesting, right?
Well done.
Something.
And then nothing in the third quarter.
That's what I mean.
And I'm with you 100%. It might not have been Brady, but somebody called that room and was like, dudes.
Yeah.
Slow it down.
Yo, Aikman went off.
It was bad.
I mean, he was very blunt about it, you know, and he's usually not, you know, hot take guy on his calls. He's just all nuts and bolts. He's going to give you the breakdown and stuff of the game.
It's surprising because the Thursday night game is really always a great game.
So well played.
Well played.
Moose, you love the Thursday night.
Oh, my God. The Thursday night game.
I'm a big
doozy.
Fan of Thursday night.
Now you're throwing all the penalties.
Every time I watch it, I think of you now. I can't even just enjoy it again. I got to take a Moose miserable
watch.
No,
what do you mean? What are you talking about? You enjoy it. You're like more
I do.
And more. You like football, NFL football every day.
No, I do. You know I do.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I don't care about rest. Roll them right out there.
Nobody loves Tuesday Maction more than you,
Ted. I love the Maction. Yeah, it's great. M-A-A-C.
Exactly. What's going on, Andrew? How you doing today?
Guys, here's your report. It is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com.
You have a game this weekend?
I do not have a game this weekend.
Game.
No game this weekend.
When's your Fordham game?
Next weekend. Fordham in Richmond.
A home or away?
Home.
Oh, home.
Yeah, home or home only. The Spiders coming north.
The Rams.
Do you go on the road at all for Fordham?
No.
Just all home.
Correct.
Back to the old stomping grounds.
Yes, and fed it like a returning hero every time I go back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They roll out the red carpet?
Well, see, the good and bad thing
is there a bogus hall?
The good,
big
no, not yet.
Just that, for him, the bogus
that
tailgate.
Involves money. I have gotten a free keychain from the official donors club. I'm Andrew Bogus. Because I MC their events. Not
Does it have
give
the little
money.
Light on it? Help you in the dark?
No. It's old school square plastic with a Fordham Maroon Club insert inside.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good for my garage key.
You're high up on the food chain at Fordham.
Something like that. I work for free. That's really my calling card.
Next week, right? So we'll go into a whole big breakdown of what this game's going to entail between the Spiders and the Rams.
Yeah.
All right? Just show me.
Which day you want to do that? Wednesday?
Next Friday morning.
Friday?
Thursday and Friday.
You guys should pick it.
Both days.
Right. Every update.
Every update. We'll get into it.
We'll start with the defense, line play.
Pete can't wait.
Then we'll go into the offense and then special teams.
We got the baseball playoffs.
There you go.
And we want new and interesting nuggets.
I'm your man.
All can decide. Is anyone, and maybe Mike has. Anyone ever been to University of Richmond? Like the actual campus?
I have, yes.
It's I have too.
I
it
know.
Is unbelievable.
Beautiful.
You ever been there,
Moose?
I've not.
It's a beautiful spot.
I've not.
It's a beautiful little campus there.
Yeah.
And it really is.
We talked about that.
Really
did your
nice.
Son play there?
He did.
They had a
game there 2 years ago when he was at Bucknell. They played there. It was unbelievable. We knew it was a nice campus, but, you know.
The first time I went there, I was like, why did I not want to go here more? It's just a beautiful place.
That's what my kids said. We saw him at the end of the game, you know, they have the tailgate with the parents, right? And he says to me and my wife, he goes, they recruited me and I blew them off. That was dumb. He goes, this place is really nice. Yeah. I go, yeah, it is.
That's funny.
Anyway, they get smarter as they get older. It just takes a while.
Right.
Yeah. Frustrating.
So, guys, we are waiting again to see how the NFL and the Patriots respond to something Antonio Brown might have done. The woman who says Brown made unwanted sexual advances while she was painting in his house back in 2017. Releasing text messages from Brown from earlier this week. Her lawyer says the texts are threatening and violate the league's personal conduct policy. They came after SI published the woman's accusations. Brown's lawyer declined comment to SI. Now we get to football. Win number one for the Jaguars, 27 over the Titans in rainy Jacksonville. Two touchdown passes in the first quarter from rookie Gardner Minshew.
We're all building trust right now. You know, whether it's me and Flip and everybody, or me and the guys on the field. So, you know, all I can do is try to earn that trust every day. And I think when you do that, you get more opportunities to do fun things like that.
As Pete the Body knows, Flip is offensive coordinator John DeFilippo.
I'm glad you said that.
One-time Fordham assistant.
It really?
Yes.
Wow. So it all comes back to the Rams. It
really does. I didn't know.
That one coming, did you?
I'm glad you said it. I didn't know who Flip was, but it makes sense.
His dad used to be, or maybe he still is, the BC athletic director.
Oh, John DeFilippo.
I think he is.
This was Minshew's second start after almost winning in Houston on Sunday. His counterpart, Marcus Mariota, sacked 9 times, hit much more than that. The Titan offense didn't score until early fourth quarter. Both these teams now 1-2. The Dolphins are making quarterback change. Josh Rosen starts Sunday in Dallas. And the Finns claiming former Cowboy DN Taco Charlton off waivers. And Steelers running back James Conner returned to full practice yesterday. He has said all week he would play this weekend after hurting a knee last weekend. Yay, the Yankees clinched last night.
And the 1-2. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. American League East over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Button it up.
Yeah, it's
so
about
good.
Time something went Moose's way. That's so
stop. You're such a wise ass.
How are the Redskins doing? Sterling on
I
Yankees
don't care
Radio.
Anymore. They can no longer hurt me.
Oh, that's right.
I made that declaration like 5 years
you're
ago.
You're a Patriot fan.
No, I'm not a Patriot fan.
Even though Dixie's a Dixie Cup Patriot.
Right, even though I pulled their name out of a Dixie Cup. I'm not a Patriot fan, but no more pain with the Redskins. I've cut it off. Ripped the Band-Aid off.
Well, yeah,
healed over.
You have full joy now. You Yankees, you have full joy.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, they're really good. So I think they're probably going to keep winning. So,
well, you never, I mean, you never
don't
know
give up the fight yet, Taz.
I'm not.
The Astros with Verlander
exactly.
And Mr. 300K. How about the fact that just on a side note, Gerrit Cole, right?
Yeah.
You see Gerrit Cole at three, you know, got to 300 strikeouts.
Yeah.
19 times this year he's had double-digit Ks.
Hmm.
You know, joining, I think there's only 4 other men in the history of Major League Baseball that have been able to do that. Sandy Koufax, all of them, Nolan Ryan, having a year that have had double-digit strikeouts of 19 or more times in any given season. All the other guys have been Hall of Famers. I mean, Gerrit Cole has had an unbelievable year for the Astros.
Yeah,
amazing.
I don't think he's lost a start since like May something.
That's insane.
And Verlander still might be better.
I know.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that is
they
crazy.
Could beat the Yankees easily.
It's going to be battles, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm just glad the Red Sox aren't in it. I have no dog in that fight, but I just, as long as the Red, I think I'm more of a Red Sox hater than a Yankee hater. I guess because I'm from New York, but still, as a Met fan, I don't know. I would, it's a New York, so Moose, you're obviously a Yankee fan, but you other cats here. So when the Yankees play the Red Sox, okay, Andrew, we'll go around the room real quick.
Mm.
Who you root for?
I never root for the Yankees.
Even against the Red Sox.
Even against the Phillies.
Sox. Oh, God. You're such a tough
Mike,
guy.
Mike, Yankees, Red Sox?
Boston.
Okay.
Really? So you don't like Andrew?
Boston.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I'm the only Met fan here that would root for the Yankees. Well, I do root for the Yankees when they play.
So you're not a Met fan?
Actually am a Met fan, but I'm proud from the state that I'm from. Hence why I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. It's the only New York. Here we go. The only New York team. From the NFL. But regardless, we're talking baseball. Here's the thing. I will root for the Yankees against the Red Sox. Always. I'm just telling you.
All right.
I'm not sitting there with a Yankee hat on. Like, oh, yeah. But I'm just,
you're a rarity.
I find that hard to believe, but I guess I am.
No, you are.
Yeah. The only reason to root for the Yankees is for, like, if they are somehow playing for the sake of our universe. That's such a real world, like Space Jam, and they're playing
Guardians
aliens.
Of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
it's a knock.
That's the only reason to be behind it. If our lives, our collective lives, cool depended on it.
It was the legendary tune. I think means the, you know, the Mets theme is better, but a lot better.
I would hope you would.
I don't think the Red Sox even have a song. They have, what's his name? Sweet Caroline. No, they got Sweet Caroline.
Gunshots at it. Yeah.
They got Sweet Caroline. They got a guy from Brooklyn singing their song, Neil Diamond. That's the truth.
Well, it's a great song.
It is, but it's a guy from New York.
Then the Mets tried to hop on that, and then they were embarrassed and basically stopped doing it.
Yeah, that's true. We got to find out.
That was a Red Sox thing.
If Neil Diamond... Let's not get other team to
stop. No, that was the Mets.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. They're like, wait, you guys, Boston's been doing this for years.
Really?
What?
They play dumb, right? Yeah. I wonder if
Neil Diamond stopped doing it.
I wonder if he's a Met or Yankee fan. Neil Diamond. I said this before here. I actually saw him in concert. It's great.
Unfortunately, he stopped performing.
Yeah, he's
great in concert. I've seen him.
You saw him two
times,
right?
Yeah.
I saw him.
My mother-in-law loves him.
I saw him at Jones Beach. Where'd you see him?
The Garden.
Nice. Yeah, it was a nice night we saw, man. My wife and I. It was great.
I saw at the Garden and the old Continental Airlines Arena.
Yeah. I wrestled there when it was called that.
Yes, yeah.
I wrestled there when it was called that.
He's great in concert. Neil is great.
Really great.
He really is.
Yeah, but I wonder if he's a Met or Yankee fan. I know Mike's team's looking into it. So I think he's a
fan of anyone who pays him.
Yeah. Right now, I'm the Sox.
Not anymore now, but he went up to Boston, remember, during that run. What was that? It was like two World Series ago, and he was doing it during the playoffs. He was doing it live.
Yep. That was disappointing.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
So just to recap the great news, the Yankees beat the Angels last night 9-1 to clinch the AL East for the first time since 2012. Cleveland caught idle Tampa Bay for the second wild card, blanking Detroit 7-0. The Indians have won their last 17 meetings with the Tigers. The Twins dumped the Royals 8-5, and the Cardinals outlasted the Cubs 5-4 in 10 at Wrigley. Chicago drops out of its tie with Milwaukee for the second NL wild card. And manager Don Mattingly reportedly gets a 2-year extension with the Marlins. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. We mentioned going to break, Taz, about Jalen Ramsey. Jaguars victorious last night. Here was the star corner after the game taking questions about his trade demands. Take a listen.
I don't want to answer any questions about trade or anything like that either. I mean, I've said what I had to say about that for now.
Well, there you have it. What about the defense and their performance last night?
Calais had a big game. Jan got in there. DeRuck got up in there. You see Smoot made some plays. Davin made some plays. Man, the whole D-line, they ate today, man. Today was truly their day. I'm happy to see that. I'm proud of them, man. Y'all go talk to them, man. Get them some shine.
Well, there you go. Give him some shine, no doubt about it. That defensive line, they did eat last night to the 9 sacks, which we pointed out earlier on in the show, Taz. But Jalen Ramsey wouldn't address his trade demands after the game last night. Didn't want to talk about it. But he did hop on 17 Weeks podcast and did have a conversation and talk about it. And basically he felt this is not about, as he said, some disrespectful things were said on their end that made me definitely walk out and call my agent. As soon as I walked down, I told him, I said, it's time. My time is up here in Jacksonville. I want to ask for a trade. I was truly at peace. I wasn't in a mindset of making a decision while I was angry. I was completely calm. I still stand by my decision to ask for a trade. He said it has nothing to do. He said, I love the city here. I love still doing my charity work here, still out with the fans, signing autographs, taking pictures, whatever. I love my teammates, but it's more so with the front office and their organization and disrespect.
I don't know. I guess I'm being gullible here. I said the other day, you know, maybe if the Jaguars win on Thursday night, which they did win, maybe things would, maybe Jalen would calm down. We heard Marrone talk the other day. We played that sound, and maybe cooler heads would prevail. We both kind of feel or felt like, you know, Jalen will stay on the Rams, and they won't trade him, and that won't happen. I still think that. Do you still think that? After you just read the quotes?
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I don't know if I'm as confident as I was a couple days ago, yeah. Taz, when you and I talked about
it.
To the point where I saw a story yesterday where a team actually called the league office and said, if Ramsey plays for the Jaguars on Thursday
and we trade for him on Friday, can he play for us on Sunday?
Jeez.
And the league office said, no, he cannot. It's only one game per week per player. So there is some, you know, heat to the fire that, you know, teams are interested. I know Peter King sent out a tweet yesterday, Taz, where he ran through the teams that might be, you know, might be aggressive enough to make that kind of move. He said, right. Kansas City, Seattle, the Philadelphia Eagles being three. I think he listed five. I don't remember the other two teams that were on that list in terms of having general managers that are aggressive enough to maybe give up what the Jacksonville Jaguars are looking for. And reportedly, the Jaguars are looking for two first-round draft choices. They're looking for a haul that the Houston Texans gave Miami for Laremy Tunsil. That's reportedly in that kind of, you know, ballpark, on that kind of block, on that kind of street. That's the kind of haul they're looking for Jalen Ramsey. You know, I'd love to see him work out down there in Jacksonville, Taz. I think he looks perfect in that Jaguar defense and wearing that uniform, wearing the teal and the black. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case anymore. Yeah. I could see him getting moved.
You might be right. He played good yesterday, too. He had five solo tackles. And it was like Ramsey Island in the first half. They were going more towards A.J. Boye, who played great. And they wouldn't throw the ball towards Ramsey. I felt like it was Revis with the Jets back in the day. But they get going over to A.J. Boye, and that didn't work for the Titans, I'm talking about. So.
No, that's true. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. And Mariota had a long night last night down in Jacksonville, so the Jaguars win. How about down to Carolina? We're going to go there next, Taz, because Ron Rivera is done with the Cam Newton questions. And you'll hear it. We'll play it. And we'll talk about that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a Friday morning, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Where? O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. And down to Carolina we go, Taz, as Ron Rivera is a little frustrated as a head coach. There's no doubt about that you know, he's answering questions left and right about his injured star quarterback, Cam Newton, who's not played well, has been banged up for his couple weeks, re-injuring that foot injury that he suffered over the course of the preseason. Here's Rivera yesterday as he met with the media down in Carolina.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kinds of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but that's, you know, we won't. I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
You felt before the opener you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask.
How does the guy come back? I mean, I can appreciate sometimes when these media guys are, you know, pushy. That's like, all right, the guy just goes and goes crazy about it. I don't want to talk about Cam Newton. And then he just goes, how about Cam?
Well, but it changes everything.
Right. No, I know.
I mean, Rivera's got to be frustrated, and those guys are trying to do their job as well because everyone wants to know about the health of Cam Newton. So, I mean, you know, those guys have bosses, right? And those guys have guys that are giving them direction about where, you know, not that they're making stories up, but they're like, everyone wants to know what the hell's going on with Cam Newton. So you got to ask the question. It's interesting that nobody had anything else other to ask than Cam Newton, Taz. But, if you're Rivera, don't you have to just expect that instead of walking out? Obviously, he's frustrated. He's obviously tired about talking about it.
Yeah.
Because he walked out of the presser yesterday. And I think he's probably frustrated because he does not have an answer for him. You know, I don't know if you walk out. I think maybe after that last question, Taz, maybe that would have been it if he just answered it and then they marched on, because he basically said it on three different occasions. I'll know more about it yesterday. But, you know, the health of Cam Newton certainly changes the perspective of that game against the Arizona Cardinals and whether or not Carolina can win that game out in the land of the sun.
Yeah, you're dealing with Kyle Allen.
I know it's about Cam,
we don't have it there. Okay. No, I was saying, there's actually, I've heard a long, I don't know if you heard the end, when he actually walks off Rivera, he goes, golly. Like he does like a
I
golly.
Did hear yeah, that. Yeah. I did hear that so yesterday.
Our audio production team is at working the Pete Pilotti. They're trying to find it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so I think.
They're
yeah.
on it. They're Kyle Allen. Yeah, that's going to be interesting at the QB spot.
There, well, so, yeah, yeah, and I don't, I'll tell you, Taz, even if he plays, I don't know what you're going to get from Cam Newton. I'd be very concerned for Carolina, and if you're a Panther fan, about just what kind of Newton quarterback you're going to get all season long. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure with the amount of pounding that he took. They did a piece yesterday on the NFL Network talking to, and showing the hits that Cam Newton has taken.
I didn't see
over
that.
The course
that
of his
must
career.
Have been pretty heavy. I didn't
yeah,
see it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I mean, Taz.
Where just, did you see that?
I think it was the NFL Network, yesterday. I think it was surrounding, you know, everything after this presser. So, Taz, I mean, he has taken some brutal hits. And he looks like he is a tick slow. And, you know, his accuracy, which he was never accurate, you know, people pointed that out coming out of Auburn. Wasn't a highly accurate quarterback. You know, people were concerned about his throwing, whether or not they had to rework his throwing motion and the like, Taz. But I look at him now, I'd be concerned about Cam Newton in the future here.
Yeah. No, I would too. Yeah.
He's taken a massive amount of hits. He doesn't look like he's getting better. He, you know, he's talked about the fact he's gone on this vegan diet and he's given up meat. That's fine. And, you know, he talked about how healthier he feels. He doesn't look at Taz. Mm. On the field, he doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look spry. He doesn't look good on the field.
You're right. I mean, you're right. I agree with you. Agree with you, I should say. Look, he's put his body out there. He's definitely all his success with the Panthers. You know, he's never shied away from a hit. He's a big dude, man. He's 6'4", 6'5", and you know, when he was healthy and throughout the bulk of his career, he'd run the ball as a QB, man. He was no joke. You know, and I'm talking about him in past tense, which is sad. He's still a starting quarterback, but it's like, and this is why Rivera's so frustrated, because he might know inevitably this is a problem. They got a major problem there. By the way, I think we have the end of Rivera, his real frustration. When someone says this, you know they're really pissed.
There you go.
Because here he goes.
Yes, I heard him say golly. Yes.
I mean, like, you know, you've been mad in your life. I've been mad in my life. I mean, if your wife upsets you or one of your kids, do you ever go, golly?
No, I've never done that. I didn't grow up below the Mason Dixon line either.
Yeah, me neither.
I've not heard golly in a while.
No more Paul Jones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's how you stole the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. But I think that might be an intriguing storyline. I think it's a fascinating storyline to follow as we look at, you know, quarterbacks that are, you know, Eli's out, Roethlisberger's hurt, Breeze is hurt, Newton now down in Carolina. And even though Taz Newton is significantly younger than both Breeze or all three of them, Breeze, Roethlisberger, and Eli Manning, I'll tell you, body doesn't look it.
No.
You know, and that's where I'd be concerned, because if he's not running and being that quarterback outside the pocket, and if you're going to draw up a game plan, Taz, where I'm going to stop Christian McCaffrey, I'm going to load the box, and I'm going to force Cam Newton to beat me from the pocket, I'll tell you, that Carolina offense isn't going anywhere.
I know.
I think we've seen it. And that's a problem if you're Ron Rivera, when you have an offense built around a quarterback where you're trying to maximize his athleticism and his ability to break containment. And that's a problem for Carolina here moving forward.
And now you're going on the road and you're playing Arizona.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you want to focus on that. This kid, Kyler Murray, there's still not a ton of tape on him. There's enough tape. But so defensively, you want to scheme against him. You want to focus on this kid because he's, you know, he's very dynamic in that team. And they got a guy like Fitzgerald who's still catching the ball amok, you know, at his age, and still got great hands and still gets open, you know. So, they're, you know, Carolina could go on the road this week and simply lose this game, and that's why they're the underdog. I think they're -2.5, I believe.
Yeah, they are a slight underdog. And I would expect anything could change. I get it. I guess reading the tone of the voice, Taz, from Ron Rivera, and specifically that's all. I don't have any inside information whatsoever.
Right.
I think Kyle Allen's going to be a quarterback for Carolina on Sunday.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And just, again, like you just said, you could just tell. I mean, Rivera was pissed. Like,
no, he was, you know, he was ticked off, and he was bothered. And they take on an Arizona team, even though they're, you know, 0-1-1, Taz, they had that great comeback week one against the Lions. And, you know, we both watched that game last week down in Baltimore. If they were able to finish off drives, Taz,
They could have easily beaten the Ravens. And they were 13.5, two-touchdown underdog going into that game.
Yeah.
They could have beaten the Baltimore Ravens last week. They just could not finish off drives. And even though he looks amazingly small at the quarterback spot in the National Football League, I'll tell you, Murray gets it in terms of where he needs to put the football. He's impressed the first couple weeks.
And to your point, every week that goes by, he's going to get better and better, that kid.
No doubt.
He's getting more comfortable. He's going to get better and better.
Good point.
So,
good point.
See what happens.
We'll go around the National Football League, Taz, including some latest drama and storylines and accusations surrounding star Pats wide receiver Antonio Brown. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose. We got college picks coming your way. We got NFL picks coming your way as well as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.